Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. It's good to be here, guys. All right. Well, tonight we are continuing through the book of Judges. We're in Judges chapter 17 tonight. If you have your Bibles or your phone, let's get there. Let's get to Judges chapter 17. So, Judges, we've been working through it, right? Last week we went through Samson, and as we've been going through Judges, right, a common theme has been, you know, Israel does evil in the sight of the Lord, and then God delivers them into oppression, and sooner or later they come back to God. Scratching and clawing, and God help us, we've done wrong. And God delivers them out, right? He sends a deliverer to help them. And so that's been what we've been learning about thus far. From Judges chapter 17 to the end through chapter 21 is more of, if you think of it as more of an appendix to the book of Judges as a whole, right? We know that contrary to maybe popular belief, Judges is not written in chronological order. So the book doesn't follow any specific or ordered timeline necessarily. And so what we find in chapter 17 is that the events of chapter 17 through chapter 21, as opposed to them happening sort of right after Samson, as one who's reading straight through the book might think, the events of 17 through 21 actually happen likely directly following the death of Joshua. So quite a while ago in our current sort of timeline where we are in Judges following Samson, the events of 17 are likely, you know, a ways back, which is totally fine. And so as Israel was possessing the land that the Lord had given them, so we know that, we know this because in chapter 18 that we'll learn, and we'll learn from next week, the tribe of Dan, remember Dan is a descendant of, or a son, rather, of Israel. And so his descendants are still looking for their inheritance in chapter 18. And we find that in Judges 18:27-28, but also in Laish, where they end up finding themselves in Laish, Laish is also known as Leshem. From Joshua chapter 19, verses 47 and 48. So it's kind of jumping around a little bit, but so we can kind of think of Judges chapter 17 through 21 as not isolated, but it's its own sort of story as we go through there. And there are, again, common elements of Israel running from the Lord, doing other things, serving other gods, right? and all that matter of, you know, evil. And God's there through all of it. So let's pray. Let's open up the scripture tonight. And that God would just speak through it. Lord, we thank you for this time. God, we lift it up. Lord, I ask that you would just enlighten our ears, God, to hear, Lord, what you have to say, God, that it wouldn't be mine but yours, God. And we just thank you, Lord, for God, for teaching and providing wisdom, Lord, liberally to those who seek you. And God, we just praise you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so beginning in verse 1 of chapter 17, it says, Now there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Micah. And And he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ears, here's the silver with me. I took it. And his mother said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my son. So when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make to make a carved image and a molded image. Now, therefore, I will return it to you. Thus, he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the silversmith. And he made it into a carved image and a molded image. And they were in the house of Micah. The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. The man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said to him, where have you come from? So he said to him, I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm on my way to find a place to stay. Micah said to him, dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes and your sustenance. So the Levite went in. The Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like a son, like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. And then Micah said, now I know the Lord will be good to me since I have a Levite as a priest. All right, so Micah and his mother and a young Levite are the characters in our story that we're going to learn from tonight. So Micah and his mother represent a microcosm of Israel's heart toward God here. Like literally in the first like two or three verses, they're breaking five commandments and only, you know, at the very beginning here. It says, right, if we know our Ten Commandments, God says you shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. Coveting that which belongs to someone else may lead us into stealing it for ourselves. God says don't steal. Micah stealing from his mother was not honoring her. God says honor your father and mother. His mother had already planned to dedicate the silver to be used for idolatry. In verse 3, it says his mother said, I had wholly dedicated this silver from my hand to the Lord, to my son, to make what? A carved image and a molded image. God says, you shall not make of yourself or for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. God says you should have no other gods before me. So we are kind of thrust right into the middle of this, in the middle of this story, right? Like, we're not told what drives Micah to covet his mother's silver and therefore steal it. But we are given a glimpse into why he returns it, right? In verse 2, it says, he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ears, here's the silver with me, I took it, right? And we can imagine that a woman who has like literally 30 pounds of silver just hanging out, probably has the resources to exact revenge on people who take her stuff. So Micah's like, dude, I don't want any part of that curse. I heard you say a curse. Please no. Here it is. Here's your stuff back. All right, and the heart posture associated with mom's curse here also shows her heart, right? Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. If you're at men's Bible study or men's breakfast this last Saturday, we talked all about Proverbs 10 and what speaking out truly means to our heart, right? And so it shows this heart posture of mom that immediately after losing something that she found valuable, right? What does she do? Right, she's immediately cursing whoever took it or by whatever means it went missing. You know, think about times when you have lost something or had something taken away from you. Right? What is your reaction? Are you resorting directly and immediately to your flesh and tear apart the house until you find your keys? Right? That's sometimes me. I mean, before I leave the house in the morning, my glasses are probably the last thing I put on my face, right? Glasses on and I walk out the door. There have been days where I don't know where my glasses are because I tend to put them in very different locations all the time, which is, you know, have a glasses bowl and put them in there, right? But if I can't find my glasses, I will resort to throwing the mattress up, throwing the desks around, you know, to find the one thing that I really can't leave the house without, right? Am I doing that? Am I seeking my flesh in freaking out and cursing, you know? Or am I seeking God first, right? Jeremiah 29:12-13 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I shall listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Notice God doesn't say, and you will seek your keys and you will find your keys when you search for me with all your heart. No, God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Right? Are we looking for our keys or my glasses, or are we looking for God? Right? Am I looking for 30 pounds of silver, or am I looking for God? Right? Where is my priority? Where is your priority? And Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God knows what you need, when you need it, more than you do, more than I do, right? Trust that he knows those things. And what is Micah's mom, what if Micah's mom trusted God with her silver, right? Right, like Job, he lost everything he had. And Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, the name of the Lord be praised, right? And I'll tell you something, right? She thinks, right? Micah's mom thinks that she trusts God with her silver. She says, I dedicated the silver to the Lord from my hand for my son. But, right, full stop there, right? Big fat period at the end of that, and that's fine, right? I dedicated the silver to the Lord for my son. But why? To do a very sinful thing, to make a carved image, to make a molded image. Right, God says in Deuteronomy 5:29, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And so we see struggling heart posture. Okay, so we see in the next verse, right? So mom takes 200 shekels of silver to the silversmith and has a carved image and a molded image made for Micah. And it was easy to do, and more evidence to support the heart and priorities of a sinful nation. Right? She orders idols for worship as easily as you might take your car to the mechanic or drive up to Starbucks and order a coffee. Right? She just goes to the corner idol store and says, "Hey, dude, I need one silver idol carved and one molded idol, and I need them quick because Micah's birthday's in like 2 days." He's like, "I can have that done by Friday," right? Like, simple. Like, there was no problem at all in doing this. It just says she took 200 shekels of silver there and bam. And that's a problem for us, because when sin is so willingly, like, accepted, right? We live in the world, right, where sin is very much accepted in that way, right? When we see good become evil and evil becoming good. And what of the remaining 900 shekels of silver, right? In verse 5, it says, "The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod, and household idols," or idols, and in other versions, it says household gods, "and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest." Micah has no authority to consecrate his sons at all. So this is a completely invalid enterprise in the eyes of God. But as verse 6 says, it doesn't matter to Israel, because in those days, there was no king. There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what they saw right in his own eyes. As Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So this verse 6 is really the theme of the rest of, well, the book of Judges as a whole, really, but the remaining chapters here, as it says it a few times here, 3 or 4 times in the following chapters. And again, right, verse 6, it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his eyes." And as Israel is living in this manner, doing as each person wills, only crying out to the Lord when they experience oppression and they need saving, they need help. What Israel fails to remember is that what we all know, right? The Lord is king. The Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even as Moses warns them in Deuteronomy not to forget the Lord, and Joshua tells them you gotta serve someone, they still do what is right in their own eyes. Going down to 7 and 8, they say, now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. The man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. And then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. So we don't know why he was traveling or where he was going or from what purpose he might have been leaving his local community in Bethlehem. And, you know, in digging into that a little bit, you know, Levites, they did move around as their duties required, as they had no territory of their own. So, again, if you weren't familiar, the Levites, right, were chosen by God to be set apart from Israel as a whole. They had no inheritance. So where the other 11 tribes were given their own territories, the Levites had no territory of their own. They did have 48 towns in total, dispersed throughout the other territories of Israel. And so we don't know sort of why this young Levite was moving about. Maybe his intention was truly to find a place to teach the law and the truth of God and to serve the children of Israel in his capacity. We don't know that, but it does seem like the Levite is wandering aimlessly. As we read in verse 9, and Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" So he said to him, I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm on my way to find a place to stay. I'm on my way to who knows where. And when I get there, you know, I'm going to do whatever it is that I'm going to do. He has no direction, no motivation. Paul encourages us in 1 Corinthians 9:26. He says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." The race that you and I run as Christians, and the work we put our hands to, the battles that we wage against the powers and the principalities, right? Those are purpose-driven. Being alone with no clear direction is dangerous if we aren't seeking the Lord, his will and his purpose. Proverbs 18:1 says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." So, and as our young Levite is alone on the road without clear direction, he leans on his own understanding, as Proverbs 3:5-6 tell us to not do. And when Micah says to him, "Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver a year and a suit of clothes and your sustenance." And the Levite goes in. He's like, "Dude, I'm down. You're going to pay me. You're going to feed me. You're going to clothe me." And you know, we don't know, again, much at all about this Levite. We don't know what his past was. We don't know what his relationship to the Lord or to God's law was. And if it was, if he truly was standing in that law, in that conviction of God, he was not standing firm, as Paul encourages us to do, because he just kind of throws it away. It says, so the Levite was content in verse 11 to dwell with this man. Just, okay, yeah, this is a place, this is a roof over my head, that's fine, that's fair, I'm down, you know. Pay me 10 shekels of silver, make me my favorite meal on Fridays, clothe me, I'm good to go. You know, that's all that matters, right? No, that's not all that matters. But the young man became like his son to him. And so Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. He was content to do evil things in the sight of the Lord. And so, you know, whatever it is, however their worship proceedings would have gone, as they worship in Micah's fake shrine, worshiping their gods, they're doing so in rejection to God. Right, and this brings to mind, right, where Israel, right, remember we read it said, you know, there was no king in Israel, and in 1 Samuel, in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, when the nation of Israel goes to God, and they said, they go to Samuel, and they say, "Give us a king, we want a king, we want to be like everybody else, like, we want a king to rule over us." And Samuel goes to God, sort of, right, dejected, like, what are they doing? They don't even understand. And God says, "Don't. What they're saying is good. Listen to them. Give them a king. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me." And the, you know, this is an evidence of that, right? There, Micah, this Levite, are content to live in this way, doing things that are evil in the sight of God. And in verse 13, right, it says, and Micah said, now I know the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest. Ecclesiastes 2, 22 and 23 says, what does it say? For what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Just like what we read about earlier in Proverbs 14:2, where it says, right, doing your own thing leads to death. Right? Praise the Lord, though. We have Jesus. We have Jesus whose yoke is easy, whose burden is light. Right? Because of Christ, right, that situation with Micah in verse 13 saying, God will be good to me since I have a Levite as priest. Right? It's a situation of striving. Striving for God's approval, striving in a way that is not healthy, right? We read about Paul speaking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26, about striving in a good way, having that holy spirit of striving, that we run that race, that we stand firm in our faith, that we are not moved when we are attacked, because we know the truth and we stand firm in the truth, right? That is striving for something that is eternal. Micah striving and saying, God is good because I have this thing that supposedly is awesome, right? This Levite as a priest is what everybody wants. This is what everybody aspires to. Right? What is that in your life? Right? What is the sort of that thing that is an idol? We all have it. We all have that thing that we so easily put before God in our lives. That we like like Micah, think, you know, things will be good now because I have the promotion at work, or I've got that salary, or I got that new car, right? God doesn't look at us through that light, right? We don't have to strive to have God's approval. Don't have to try to do good things, as Micah says. God will love me because I have a Levite. Like Isaiah 64:6 says, we are all like an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousnesses are like filthy rags. Right? The best that you have on your best day is filthy rags. That's it. The best that I have on my best day, and by the way, I will never reach my best on a good day ever, but if I could aspire to the best potential that I have, it's nothing to God's perfect sovereign holiness. But Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul, I misplaced the word soul here. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Right? Do you have Christ? For those of us, right, hopefully all of us have accepted the Holy Spirit's call, right? We have the Lord in our life. We are clothed in the robe of righteousness before Him. It's a beautiful thing, right? If you haven't made that choice to accept Christ, right, find Pastor Nathan. Talk to me, talk to Casey, right? We'll pray for you. It's a beautiful thing. But for those of us who believe in Jesus, have accepted His call, right, you don't have to worry about striving for that thing. You are already very valuable in the eyes of God. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So let's get our priorities straight tonight. Right? Are we, as a body, are we going to seek our flesh in moments of panic, in moments of losing things or having things taken away from us, relationships, jobs, what have you? Are we going to seek God? Are we going to trust in Him first and foremost? Are we going to seek first His righteousness, seek His kingdom first, understanding and trusting that He's got you, He has your heart, He knows what you need better than you do, better than I do. I'm going to trust Him with those things, right? Don't forget, God knows your heart, your priorities, your intentions, again, better than we ever will. It's a beautiful thing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for setting our priorities straight, Lord. God, we thank You that You have said, come, let's reason together. God, You have clothed us in righteousness. You have taken our iniquity away as far as the east is from the west, God. Lord, we praise You for that, God. I thank You for, Lord, this word tonight, that we might just learn from it, God, be encouraged by Your work, God, Your work in our life, that we would cease to strive and just remember how much You love us, Lord, how much You love us, how much You care for us, God. That we might take that with us, God, as we go from this place, Lord. We praise You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.